بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, today we live in a world where we are taught that winning is everything, and whatever we do we should focus only and only on winning. Obviously there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing romantic about losing, but to focus on winning alone, which is the result, without concern for the way you won, this is the reason for the corruption that has spread across the land. We see this right from the beginning. We see it from the schools. Children are taught that they should win no matter what. We condone cheating, we condone lying, we condone plagiarism, we condone people just going onto the internet, searching for stuff and then submitting that in papers, pretending that it is their own. They steal somebody else's stuff. And they pretend, submit it and pretend it's their own. If they get caught, they get caught. If they don't get caught, they win. We have the same situation in our work environments, where we are taught that no matter what, you have to win. Win the contract, win the sale. In the process, what you did or didn't do doesn't matter, as long as the result is that you won the contract, you won the sale. Politics, I don't even have to spend time worrying and talking about it. You know exactly what we are doing and the result of that. It is rampant. It is rife with completely unprincipled people who don't give a damn how they win as long as they win. And what is worse is that their supporters and the public also doesn't seem to give a damn about that. Public doesn't give a damn about how the politician came to power, how the person became the president or prime minister or whatever he became, how he won his election, as long as he wins the election, no matter what. We have the classic case just now in America of the impeachment proceedings that happened, how they ended. Question to ask is, does that leave America as an example of a great nation which lives by its stated principles, or what? We have the the election campaign in Delhi, in India, and all the hate speeches and all of that which happened. I'm not going into the details of this in this further reminder, because we all know what happened. I mean, people have been watching television. I'm probably the one who watched it the least. I didn't watch it at all, as a matter of fact. But I'm sure all of you have been watching television, so you know the details much better than I do. So there's no need for me to waste your time mentioning the details. But all the stuff that has happened, that is happening in India, where the philosophy of hatred, the philosophy of apartheid, the philosophy of discrimination is being propagated with great fervor, all in order to win elections. Let us assume that they do win the election. I mean, Delhi they didn't, but country-wise. So what is achieved? So they get to, within quotes, rule India for another set of 5 years. And they get to propagate and they get to fulfill their desire of creating an apartheid state in which a vast, big part of the population is declared to be foreigners. A big part of the population is made homeless. Is that the sign of a great nation? Is that a sign of a healthy economy? Is it a sign of creating a nation that the world can look up to and say, here is a beautiful example for us to follow? Is that what's going to happen? If that was going to happen, then the world would have followed the example of Hitler, because he did that long before this whole thing started in India. The point I'm making is that just because you win in a situation, it doesn't mean anything. If the means of winning were unfair, if they were immoral, if they were... I hesitate to use the word illegal, because legality is a different matter. There was a time when slavery was legal. The Holocaust, which Hitler perpetrated on the Jews and other weak and minority communities in Germany, that was legal. To this day, paying women a wage which is significantly lower than men for the same job is legal. Discrimination on the basis of color in America was legal. The apartheid in South Africa was legal. So I don't use the term legal, because legality is the product of what laws those who are in power are able to pass. But if it is, whether it's legal or not, it doesn't make it right. Just because something is legal, it doesn't necessarily make it right. Being right and wrong is very different from being legal and illegal. Being right and wrong has to do with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned His laws very clearly, where He said in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bilqisti shuhada'a lillahi walau ala anfusikum abil walidaini wal aqrabin. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this beautiful ayat 135 of Surah An-Nisa, Allah commanded the believers, and He commanded us, and He said, stand up as witnesses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, even if it is against yourselves, and if it is against your parents, and if it is against your closest people, the closest relatives, closest friends. Even if you have to stand up as a witness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against yourself, against your parents, against your closest friends and companions and relatives, your brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, community members, tribe members, whoever, stand up for justice against anyone who does injustice. Now, this is the principle of Islam. This is what Islam commanded us to do. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this to us for a reason. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this to us. And the reason He mentioned this to us is because it is the purpose of Islam to establish a society which is kind and compassionate, which is justice, which is based on justice, which is just. A society which takes care of everybody. A society where oppression of one by the other is not tolerated. It is not accepted. And a society which is based on that single principle, which is that at the end of the day, we, every single one of us, no matter who we were, no matter how big or powerful, how small or weak, we are answerable to the one from whom nothing is hidden. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. We are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from whom nothing is hidden. And nothing can be hidden. Now, this principle of justice, of principle of accountability in the Akhirah, a principle of being called to account by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from whom nothing is hidden, this is what stuck in the craw of the Quraysh of Makkah because that is something they didn't want to accept. And they said, no, we have the right to do what we want because we have the power to implement it in this life and nobody can question us. Well, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them that, you know, this is what Allah has told you, that you are accountable. A man came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he had in his hand a bone from some cemetery or something. It was a human bone, an old bone. The man brought it, he crumbled it in his hand into powder and he threw it in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very disrespectful manner, and he said, "Ya Muhammad," he didn't say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but of course we do. He said, "Ya Muhammad, are you telling me that your God is going to resurrect this thing and hold it accountable?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect this person, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect you, and Allah will throw you into Jahannam." Yeah, the man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had the option of accepting the truth, of accepting Islam and going to Jannah. Instead of that, the way he behaved, he got himself a bashara of Jahannam. Now, the point I'm making here is, my brothers and sisters, that how does this accountability business happen? It happens, doesn't happen overnight. It happens because this is how we bring up, we raise our children. This is the question of accountability that we raise with our children. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, never tell a lie, even as a joke. Now, when we hold ourselves to the truth, then when the time comes where it's a question of winning, we will say, no, I will win, I want to win, I will do my best to win, but I'm not going to use means that are false, means that are based on falsehood, means that are based on lies. I will not do that because I'm holding myself to the truth. This is the principle of Islam, of truth, and that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, never tell a lie, even as a joke. So the raising of children itself must be based on the truth. And this truth is, sometimes it's in very small things. For example, somebody phones and you tell the child, you tell them, I'm not here. And the child is seeing you sitting there and you are telling the child to tell a lie. A child goes late to school, maybe it's a school where they are strict about punctuality. So you tell the child, just tell them that, you know, tell them we had a flat tire on the way, we had to stop and change the tire. The child knows that is a lie. And then when the child comes home, if the child tells a lie, then you want to punish the child and say, look, you know, you must never tell lies. The child is, what is the child hearing? What is the child understanding from this? The child is saying, you must never tell a lie, it's not true. The real lesson is, you must tell a lie when it suits you, when it is convenient, when it gives you some immediate benefit. The whole issue, take the question of George Washington, in the famous story of George Washington and the axe and the apple tree, and you know how he cut down this tree, but he refused to tell a lie about that. I mean, is that the America we are looking at today? And why? And when we say, no, we are not looking at that America today, then the question to ask is why? Now, the same thing applies. And of course, I'm not getting into the into the black and white and whatnot arguments here. I'm just looking at one incident of being truthful and being upright. This is the basis on which Islam functions, which is that it is not only important to win, but it is important, or even more important, to win in the right way. Not win by cheating, not win by lying and telling, lying and cheating and deceiving, but winning by being truthful, by focusing on quality. Now think about this. It's not just a hypothetical concept. What happens when you hold yourself to this standard that I'm going to win, but I'm going to win in fair means? Now, what is the meaning of fair means? Take business, for example. Fair means that I'm going to produce products and services of such supreme and superb quality that my customers will come to me because they will love what I produce for them. I don't have to lie and cheat because my product is so superior that there's no need for me to use underhand means to sell the product, right? I am producing this thing of such superb quality, and I am presenting it to the market at such a competitive cost that I am the natural choice for whatever I do. I say this all the time in my career development workshops. I say, leverage yourself out of competition. If you are competing, you are already losing. Why are you competing? If you distinguish yourself, if you differentiate, then you create brand, and brand inspires loyalty, and loyalty enables influence. So if you have differentiated yourself, you have leveraged yourself out of the competition, you are unique. You are the only person that potential customers can go to, because there is nobody else other than you who provides the service that you provide. So you don't have to lie, you don't have to cheat, you don't have to deceive anybody, because your quality is so superior. Now think about that. This is the whole point of focusing on justice and saying that the means is as important as the end, which is to win. If you win by underhand means, then that win is not a win. That's a great loss. It's a huge loss. Because what you are doing is, now you are presenting to society something which is of low value, something which is worthless. But you are able to do that because you used underhand means. Who loses? You loses, the whole of society loses. Take, for example, the huge corruption, for example, in India, in government contracts. You know, infrastructure contracts, roads and bridges and so on and so forth. What is the result of that? Okay, the contractor wins, within quotes wins, because he got the contract. The politician and the bureaucrat who took the bribe, he thinks he has won because he took some money home, which is haram, for which all of them will pay before they go to, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they meet him. But in the process also, what happened? You got a lousy road. You got a road full of potholes, and when you drive on that road, and believe me, who is going to drive on that road? That same bureaucrat will drive, that same contractor will drive, that same politician will drive. When they drive on that road, they are going to experience that lousy road which they helped to create. I'm giving only one example. I think this is enough to illustrate the evil of corruption. And this is just in one area. Apply it across the board. If you are creating, if you are winning an election by propagating hate, you are going to create, you will win the election. No problem. You will win the election. But then what will you have? You will have a country which is rife with strife, which is full of conflict, which is full of unhappiness, it's full of sadness, it's full of anger, and you will reap the benefits of all of that. And the whole of society suffers. So what sense does it make? Tell me. What sense does it make? On the other hand, if you had used, if you had focused on saying, I will win this election on the basis of the service that I provide to my constituents. I want to win this election on the basis of the beautiful systems and processes that I have created for the benefit of the people who vote for me. Then what do you have? You still win the election, and you have a beautiful society which has fantastic schools, which has great hospitals, which has great infrastructure, which has people who are good to one another. Now, this is a no-brainer whatsoever. It's a total no-brainer. I don't even need to insult you by asking you this question, which one is better, because I think it is so openly clear. The question to you, my brothers and sisters, is, which one do you want? Which one do you want? Because if we want a win by means which are honorable, which we can take before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stand, and you are starting off in a system which is corrupt, believe me, it will take courage to stand up and be counted and to speak out in favor of justice and against injustice. In the whole Trump impeachment thing, we saw that. We saw one man stand up and speak the truth, despite the fact that his whole party voted against that. this one man stood up and he said, I have to speak the truth because that is the truth. Now, alhamdulillah, we are getting examples. There are people who are across the world who are doing things and they are standing up for justice. Believe me, never lose hope. If you are swimming against the current, one day it will be, you will be alone. But believe me, that doesn't matter, because over time you will prevail. You will get supporters, you will prevail. And even if you don't prevail, it doesn't matter. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to ask you that question. Allah won't say, how many people followed you? Allah will say, what did you do? Allah will not ask us what happened. Allah will ask us, what did you do? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to do the right thing and to do it with a smile on our faces, to do it without fearing anyone other than His displeasure. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support and protect us in that endeavor. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.